You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On this episode of the Cooligans, in the first segment, we talk about the 0-7 loss that NYCFC faced at home. It was very disrespectful. We are not happy about it. Why was Red Bull allowed to play with 48 men? We're not sure.
In the second segment, we talk about the comments after the Red Bull wedding. Andrea Pirlo is not too happy with the MLS at the moment. We also talk about Portland and Vancouver in that Cascadia kind of cup thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. With another really fun rivalry. Also, in England, Mourinho is going to Manchester United, most likely. LVG is gone. Ibra might be following him to Manchester United.
And on the third segment, we just cover the news because there's no Kirby, so it's the Cooligans Corner. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Cooligans.
I can't believe you have that much energy.
We are recording the earliest we've ever recorded.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about 7-0.
Okay, we'll get to it because it's going to, I mean, there's no way.
How are you in a good mood? I've been the saddest I've ever been as a soccer
There's no
fan.
Way to avoid it. There's no way to avoid it.
And we should. I think we should just head on. Try to get through this.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Just, sir, that's he's in traction and those are bandages.
Yeah.
I said, rip them off.
Yeah, okay. So, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you're listening to the Cooligans. You heard the intros and stuff.
You know who we are. We're comedians.
We happen to be NYCFC.
We're soccer fans. And we also, sadly...
We're season ticket holders to apparently... Just a massacre.
Yeah. So
we were doing so well.
We got humbled very quickly.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, is this being humbled or is this just abuse? You know, now you're just being violent.
I got to be honest. Like, all right, 7-0 is one of those things that's going to live on for a very long time. And we're going to have to deal with this for a long time.
Yes.
And this is going to be instant banter that we can't. We can't defend ourselves against. There's nothing we can do. There's only so many times we can mention that they play in New Jersey before they say, you've never beaten us 4 tries.
Yes.
You've also lost to the Cosmos, and we beat you in your own home 7-0. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can say now.
So if you are not aware of what we're talking about, it was rivalry week in the MLS, and there were a lot of rivalry games. But
all the derbies.
All the derbies. But the big game on national television. The marketing push that the MLS is putting behind the NYCFC and New York Red Bulls
David Villa,
rivalry.
Pirlo,
is
Lampard.
They're putting all their chips up. They're like, we're all in. This is the one that is going to represent the MLS. This is going to be the the Boca Junior and River Plate.
Is the new Super Clásico.
I'm not even like kind of exaggerating. This is it. This is the thing that
for them, this is their derby. This is our Barca Real. This is our Dortmund Bayern, if you will. I know that's not exactly a derby, but this is for, and neither is Real Barca, but for all intents and purpose, this is the biggest match for the MLS.
Yeah, they're trying to market it that way.
Yeah.
So it was on national television. So that's a big deal.
Fox.
It's on Fox.
Big Daddy Fox. We didn't say Fox Sports.
Nope.
We didn't say
FS1.
Fox Deportes.
Yeah, now Fox Sports Go. You don't need like 12 apps to stream through.
You don't need to go to some weird website to get an illegal stream for this one.
No,
this
is right on national television.
You're flipping. If you're in New York, you go 1, 2, 3, 4. There's the game.
There it is.
Right on the fifth channel.
So that's a big deal. So the game obviously was at Yankee Stadium, and it started just terribly.
Lights, camera, action, goal. I believe is how it started. I don't even think the announcers were done announcing themselves. I am blank, and I'm going to be called. And there's a goal.
Yeah, I mean the ref blew the whistle. He wasn't even done blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
And it was already.
I actually think the ball started in goal, if I recall correctly.
They just kicked it right out of the net.
They blew the whistle and starts off with a goal. It was there's something weird though that like if it was 3-0, it would have been worse. If it was 3-1, it would have been worse. 7-0 means something terrible happened.
Yeah.
That it was just, and look, do you know what gegenpressing is? We've talked about it.
Yeah, what Jurgen Klopp does.
There you go. So this is apparently what they've done to us. And you could see it. Remember, I kept saying to you, it was like, why is all of their players on one side of the pitch? And we are constantly trying to play the ball out of the back. That accounted for 2 of the 7 goals. Mm-hmm. Josh Saunders looked like, how much money did he put on the Red Bulls? He looked atrocious. The back line was, they managed to move players around. Our back line was absolutely plucked out of place. How many highlights can Mike Grella get against our right side of our defense? We're not as bad as 7-0. No one. There's too much parity in this league. I'm going to give credit to Nick Chavez. He typed it, so I don't want anything. I stole it from him. I've mentioned it before. There's too much parity in this league with the amount, how tight the cap is for anyone to be 7-0 better than anyone else. If you go out and get a bunch of DPs, you're going to have lower quality players around them because of the way the cap balances out.
Yeah.
So to some degree, teams like the Red Bull tend to have a better chance at having cohesion because most of their players are on a similar level because they don't really have DPs, you know.
Yeah, they only have one, I believe.
Yeah, Bradley Wright Phillip is barely a DP, and I think Sasha Kljestan is a DP this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
maybe. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know who the hell they are. You know, Bradley Wright Phillip. You know, we were chanting, "You'll never be your father," and it's true. You know, Ian Wright was a famous Arsenal. I was swallowing that I couldn't remember. There's no chance in hell that there's seven. It really felt like we were down to 8 men for some strange reason. Like, we couldn't get anything. David Villa looked as frustrated as he's ever looked. I was in shock. I was just staring.
It was a thing that it felt weird being there for something so terrible, right?
I was like, why would you allow people to view this? Why would people be allowed to buy tickets for this?
But I mean, if we're going to try to explain what happened, you know, the team itself is not really saying any of that. Patrick Vieira in the post game just sort of chalked it up to like, let's just take this L and move on with our lives.
Yeah, which is kind of the only thing you can do, isn't it? I mean, what are you gonna break it down tactically? they high pressed us at every point. We had no option. Yeah. We had nothing.
It really seemed like and this is the thing I'm sort of worried about for NYCFC going forward, is that now there's tape of how to dominate them at Yankee Stadium, right?
This is the blueprint of how to beat us.
Exactly.
This is it.
So it seems like because of the field, the size of the pitch.
The pitch is so tiny.
It just seemed like you can take advantage of that. And Red Bulls looked... It looked like men against boys, and it really... this is the thing that concerned me, especially being there watching the game. I'm like, are they just like bigger, stronger men than NYCFC? Can NYCFC not do anything like as far on physically? Because it makes no sense that Dax McCarty can score 2 goals on a header, and he is what they say he was 5. The second shortest person on the field.
Yeah,
so. Who was marking him? Matajerita was marking him.
Yeah.
And both goals, I mean, did he just physically push him out of the way? Like, Matajerita's not the biggest dude in the world.
No. I mean, Dax is also an older, savvier player. And it just seemed like they were more prepared. You know, all of the goals, none of the goals seemed like they were, you know, maybe besides the one where Bradley Wright Phillips sort of lays it off too. I think it was Verone.
No, Mule.
Mule. Okay.
Drug Mule.
Yeah, first time I've heard that name. that's how in awe I was. Other than the one where sort of Bradley Wright pulls his defender out and then he sort of lays it off. Other than that, none of them seemed like they were tactical, like they were better than us. They just seemed like they went for the ball more. Like Dax McCarty's header, well, he was leaning forward and Matarita was like pulled away from him. Mm-hmm. And all the other goals and even the bicycle kick goal, what I mean, Saunders watched it until it bounced, and then he tried to jump for it. I mean,
yeah, I mean, the bicycle kick goal was probably RJ Allen's fault. I mean, he didn't play Bradley Wright Phillips a little. He didn't press him like hard enough,
right?
To go for the ball. He also didn't expect him to go for a bicycle kick. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it seemed like.
That's the benefit of the bike, is that's not what you're guarding for, because then you leave him open for a turn and shoot.
Exactly.
But so, I mean,
it is so like there's a lot happening, right? Because as people who we talk about the game and we try to have a lot of fun,
and we're fans of the game as much as we are, but
and we try to be as objective as possible. But we're season ticket holders for this damn team.
I mean, we showed up in the colors and we're wearing the jersey, and so it is. You know, I mean, the fans were brawling before we got there, and
it's difficult to not take it emotionally. You know, to not let it affect you emotionally, because. We're recording this on Tuesday.
We've had time to think about
it. So this is the, May 24th. The game happened the 21st.
Yeah.
And Sunday, I'll explain a couple things that happened, right? So after the game, we went to Legends.
Yeah, which, what a dumb decision that was.
Why did we went there? Because we were...
Did you ever meet?
I met Jonathan Tannenwald.
Yeah, so one of our friends who came to the game...
Evan Davis.
Evan Davis is a journalist in sports, and he was meeting with Jonathan Tannenwald at the goalkeeper, if I'm not mistaken. He's a soccer journalist and someone who we both really respect his writing, and maybe don't always agree with his opinion, but we really respect his writing. So he was like, hey, I'm going to meet up with him. Hey, if you guys want to come along, I'll introduce you. And we're like, yeah, that sounds great.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I ran home. I changed my shirt because I had two shows after that. I drive all the way over there. I try to find parking. I literally could only be there for 15 minutes. And then as I'm walking up, I'm like, wait a minute. Legends is a Red Bull bar. Why are we going there?
Yeah. So
so when I walk in, I'm getting stared at by the people. Are like, because while I wasn't wearing the jersey anymore, I still had the hat. People are like, yeah. Why is he here? And then I'm walking through a sea of Empire supporters group people to get to you guys, and you guys just look like you're smiling. You're like, we've taken shit this whole time.
So we were sitting at a table. I mean, literally. Completely surround. I mean, if this was a war, we lost.
You lost.
We were about to lose. We
were prisoners.
We were about to get
this
captured.
Is Black Hawk Down.
We were about to get captured, and imprisoned for years. Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm in my NYCFC track jacket. My girlfriend is in her in Kyrie Shelton jersey, and we're just sitting at a table next to Red Bull supporters. And wow, did they let us have it? And part of me. And this is starting.
Just being comedians, though, we respect good banter.
It is, yeah. I wasn't mad at all. And being there and experiencing that sort of made me feel, sort of really made me accept and embrace and understand that I'm like truly becoming a soccer fan, right? Yeah. Because
you've always been a fan. Now you're becoming a supporter.
I am, and honestly, what I felt when I was getting hammered by Red Bull supporters, part of me felt like I deserved it. You know? Like, part of me...
This was like how the players are probably getting yelled at by the coach.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity.
Yeah, this is like, you know what? I'm not going to get mad at this because... I had this coming.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I deserve for.
This is the beaten wife syndrome that we all live with. This is it.
But that is my loyalty to the team. Yeah. Where there was a fight outside Yankee Stadium before the game.
Which, by the way, respect to the police for not arresting anyone, just sort of pushing everyone
that's so dumb.
But, it is dumb. It's stupid. I get the mob mentality of it. And if we want to talk about it, this, again, all started. Red Bull did it first last year this time. And you could watch all the videos that were posted. They started throwing sodas and stuff at our fans. In fact, Kirby... Of the late segment Kirby's Corner took a bottle off the face. Put your hands up. By the way, Johan, did you see the video?
No, I have not.
Johan is just slapping sodas out of the air. Put him in goal. It would have been at least 5-0. You know what I mean? I put him in goal. If Johan's listening, Johan, what are you doing?
Yeah, Johan, he's another NYCFC supporter in the supporter section.
Yeah, known for being a bit buzzed. And I think he was buzzed at that point, too. But he was just slapping bottles out of the air. You know, again, they were throwing the bottles first. It's like, I get that people want to have that, you know, that traditional hooligan experience, and you want to show your passion for the team. This can't be the smartest way to do it.
Yeah.
It can't.
What I hate is that every derby that what tends to happen is the New York media. I mean, New York media is a big deal. There's a lot of blogs.
This is the world's media here.
Exactly.
If a New York writer writes about it, the whole world reads it.
So what happens, and it gets sort of blown out of proportion. Like, there wasn't, you know, a 400 people fighting each other. No. It was just 2-3 idiots kind of taking it too far. And
well, no, this was actually two big seas of people.
Oh, okay. The video I saw was the one, just the Red Bull supporter and two NYCFC supporters like threatening to like throw punches.
Oh, no, no. This was the entire seating group was being escorted into the stadium. And apparently they were told to get there like an hour before the match. And they didn't. They got there. Or maybe they did. This actually might have been an hour before the match, but they were let in through like the main gate that we all get off at the train station right across the street from the McDonald's.
Okay.
Like right where NYY Steak is.
Okay, okay.
So they're all being led that way, and the police are sort of barricading them. And then they're taunting some of the fans that were standing outside the dugout. So the dugout just like empties. And then the police is sort of backing everyone off, and bottles are being thrown from these hordes of groups. So it's like unnamed. You can't see who it is. And then two players went to fight each other. Two fans went to fight each other, and that got taken down.
Okay, okay.
I mean, those guys got cooled down. But no one was like, I mean, but this was like maybe, 300 or 200 of Red Bull supporters and maybe 80 to 100 NYCFC supporters. And the cops were just sort of, you know, flickering their lights, and a bunch of them were outside, like pushing people. No one got arrested, though.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good.
Yeah, that which is kind of nice.
Yeah, but it's just so unnecessary. You know, for the most part, even while I was at Legends, and it was funny.
The banter was lighthearted, too.
Yeah.
Like, are some of the highlights? Like, you went to go sit at a table, and someone yelled, "We need 7 stools."
There was someone sitting next to us, and they were like, and the tabletop didn't have enough stools.
Yeah.
And they were like, get some more stools. Get 7 stools. We don't have 7 people. We just get me 7 stools if it just feels right. And look, it's funny. I don't mind. You know, I can take it. I was pretty impressed with, look, the Red Bulls have been in existence for what, 21 years. They have a longer history of support. So they have they're a lot more prepared. They had amazing songs. I'm like, oh my god, these guys have been doing this for 21 years, you know?
Yeah. Which, by the way, remember we got belittled for having a song list? They had it when they started, too.
Exactly.
And I think this is what, you know, we're all realizing is it's easy to pick on us for being new. It's kind of like when we see a new comedian do something that's trite or something that's formulaic, and you're like, oh.
They had some funny.
Let me guess. At the end of the joke, it's your mom.
Yeah,
who's flirting with you.
The ones I thought were pretty funny. They generally just make fun of Yankee Stadium. So they're all singing in the ball, and they're singing more because we're there, because we were the only NYCFC supporters in the room.
Right.
So they started singing. They got the tallest foul pole in the league over and over and over, and then they got the tallest pitcher's mound in the league over and over. So there was some. Look, it's funny to me. I'm like, all right, yeah, we played a goddamn baseball stadium. But, that's funny.
And by the way, we don't want to play at a baseball stadium either. I mean, you're kind of. You're making fun of us, but really, we don't want to be there either.
So that kind of that kind of banter is great. Yes, it is this moment in soccer history. It's not gonna be forgotten.
It's not going.
They've already titled this thing. There's a Wikipedia entry for this game called the Red Bull Wedding.
Yeah,
which is great. Which is, I mean, look, as a fan of the team, that's not a thing I want to be associated with.
No,
but as a comedian, I'm like, it's goddamn funny.
As a comedian, these are all funny things. I think when you sit back and you think of it as you're a supporter. I mean, they beat us 3 times in a row last year. We wanted some retribution. We're a better team. We have Patrick Vieira, all these things. Nothing. 7-0. I mean, if you add up all the losses, they scored 7 goals last year. They did it all in one shot this year. But again, there's no such thing. I mean, no team is 7 goals better than anyone else. We're not that bad of a team.
And they're not also, they're not that good.
They're nowhere near that good. So they're going to have false confidence moving forward. I'm a little worried about how NYCFC is going to recover from this, or if they will. You know, this, someone posted, I think it was actually Neverson who posted on the Reddit, hey, can you send us quick videos of you guys saying we are one to let the players know that we're behind them? No.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean let them know we're behind? We stayed. Not all of us stayed. A lot of people left early.
A lot of people did.
I get that level of frustration. I get it. But we were there. We were singing. We were chanting. We were doing it all. Like, I don't need to send you a video. You need to send me a video of your training, dog. Can we get every player kicking a shot at Saunders at once? And if a ball goes in, you got to do it again until he blocks all of them at the same time. That is not allowed. You can't play that way and expect me. I'm paying my money. That's my We Are One. I bought chicken for $12. That's my We Are One. I'm not sending you a video.
I bought a $9 beer. I'm good, you know?
I'll send you a video going, why didn't we win? Now We Are One.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing. How much, after an embarrassing loss, how much are you supposed to chastise your team? Or how much are you, or not chastise them? How you know, where's sort of the
line? As supporters, they answer to us. That's it. And I get that American sports isn't this way, so it's hard for people to accept that. But as supporters, as people who, and I know you and I don't put the time in for TIFOs and stuff. We're not official members of any supporters group. Mm-hmm. But as people who dedicate time on their podcast and videos and part of our creative output goes towards this team, they answer to us. You embarrassed us.
It's weird to say that because I'm a big Knicks fan, but when the Knicks lose, even in an embarrassing way,
there's an indifference. There's a separation.
It's like, you know, well, next season we'll worry about it later or whatever. But this, after this loss, there's been a real concern on my part. Even I was at Brooklyn Bridge Park yesterday. And I saw this lady walking her dog, and she was wearing an NYCFC T-shirt. And I said, I just felt like I was like rough loss, right? And she's like, I know. I wouldn't do that with almost any other team I support.
I walked by a school, and a 12-year-old kid in a Red Bull jersey saw me wearing the hat the other day, and just kind of went, huh. And I was like, he's right. You know? Like, what am I going to?
Yeah.
I can't say anything to him.
There could be a 10-year-old who just kicks you in the nuts and be like, yeah, kids, I had it coming.
Kid's got a point. Thank God it's not on the tip of his shoe. I don't think there's anything that we can say besides how, you know, and everyone, a couple of players have said this and I agree. A mark of a champion isn't whether you get beaten or not. It's how, and again, other than Arsenal, who our captain was Patrick Vieira when we went unbeaten for an entire season. It's how you react from this point on. So let me see what these players are made of. Let me see what Patrick Vieira is made of. And while we're at it, can we please increase the cap? Is there anything? If Zlatan Ibrahimovic is able to go to the LA Galaxy and he's being paid anything more than $60,000 a year, there has to be a way. There has to be a way where we can get a slightly better core of, whether it's defenders or central defense. I don't know what else to say. We're not playing as much as a team, and I know we're a new team, and they've been together for longer. I get it, but we're all over the place. We're flippity-floppity. There's nothing else to say.
Well, yeah. Look, I mean, it's weird. This is like a big concern now because we lost 7-0.
Right.
But, you know,
wasn't a concern last week.
Yeah, NYCFC was on a 3-game winning streak.
Four-game unbeaten.
And it looked like it was going in the right direction, but I guess, you know, the soccer gods have balanced things out because
MLSing, I guess, is the only way to put it when, you know.
Well, you know, Patrick Vieira after the game did say, Even though it's an embarrassing loss, it's better to lose seven. It's better to lose one game 7-0 than seven games 1-0,
which is true.
Which is very true. It doesn't make it any necessarily easy.
Like, no matter how many goals they score, they only get 3 points from it. Our goal differential is shot for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's bad.
But yeah, I mean, we only dropped 3 points at home.
I was thinking about this a lot, especially with you being an NYCFC fan and an Arsenal fan. I feel like the soccer gods have balanced things out. Arsenal fans were not supposed to have Tottenham's Day.
Yeah, Saint Tottenham.
Saint Tottenham's Day. It was not supposed to happen. It was so implausible. There was no way it was going to happen.
Right.
And you got it in the last day of the season. So it was like, oh, you got that? All right, we'll fix things back in the States. We'll get it.
Are you feeling good? Watch this.
We'll get it right.
Oh, you're a fan of another team, right? Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
No, this.
The only positive that came out of this whole thing, the only positive that came out of all of this, Jack Harrison looked great.
He did.
Oh, man. He looked, might I say, Mike Grella-ish, which is embarrassing to say.
You know what? I've been obsessed with reading all the articles about the Red Bull wedding, basically.
I have stayed away from all.
I'm like, I want to understand what people are saying about this, because this is the first time I've experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
And
you're the kind of guy who was like, I have a wound, I'll get in there and get the bullet myself.
Basically.
Give me some vodka. I'll fish it out.
A lot about what happened in the game. How people were sort of the criticisms of each player and stuff like that. And one of the criticisms were a lot about Kyrie Shelton, right? Kyrie, and Andrea Pirlo also did mention, he was quoted as saying that the MLS is too much running.
I figured we would talk about that in the second segment.
But there's not too much like tactical.
He's 100% right.
Knowledge, you know, for the players. And one thing I was trying to understand that, and then somebody else mentioned about how Kyrie. He's a big threat. You know, people are afraid of his
Connor
feet.
Connor Lade is like 4'11".
Yeah.
Kyrie Shelton's 6'3" and known for his pace. And he was getting beaten up and down that pitch by Connor.
Yeah. So
to headers. He was getting beaten to headers.
And that's the thing I think Pirlo was sort of addressing or focusing on, is that the lack of confidence, especially in the final third, but lack of confidence in general with a lot of players, is that tactically they don't know what to do, or they don't know how to make that correct decision.
They don't have the most efficient way of getting to the next point.
Yeah.
Which is exactly, I mean, Pirlo, he says that he doesn't run. You can see he does that simple turn and it knocks a defender out of his
very
way.
Very little thing. Subtle little thing. Yeah. Like, it's almost like the way Jordan used to palm the ball and fake you it looked like he was going to pass, but he was actually palming it. Little things that, like, he's a master of his craft. He's not the fastest guy anymore, but he's just so much more intelligent. And this is the comparison of an American coached player like Kyrie Shelton, where you see that in those final sort of decisions, those crucial decisions, you can't really make them. But when you see an English player
from anywhere else,
but Jack Harrison. First game, but how confident did he look with the ball?
He looked incredibly confident.
He went forward.
Manchester United youth product.
Exactly. So he went towards any defender, and that's like a good thing to see. And
why don't we talk about this in the second segment? Because I think there's a lot that goes into this, and I kind of wanted to cover it.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So why don't we go ahead and break?
Okay.
And then we'll jump to the second segment, and we'll talk about Pirlo, what he said. We'll talk about both of our opinions, because I know we both have some strong opinions on this.
We will. And we'll talk about some other rivalry week. Why can I say that? Rivalry? I have to say it very slowly.
Let's just say derby games.
Derby games.
Yeah. Even though they're not all derbies, because they're not in the same city, blah, blah, blah.
All right. So we'll get back to you in a second with segment number two.
Now let's find out what you have to do to get this awesome, comfortable USA scarf.
All right, so for the Cooligans giveaway, if you want to win a USA scarf to take to your Copa America Centenario game with you, all you got to do is create a video letting us know what your favorite USA soccer moment is and just send it to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
That's it. It could be anything. It could be your favorite moment watching. It could be a story about how your dad took you to the first match. It could be about anything at all. Maybe you went to the World Cup of the 90s. Anything at all. Your favorite moment, the most important moment for you in national team history. Men's, women's, it doesn't matter. Youth, it doesn't matter at all. Share a video with us. Make sure you tag at Soccer Cooligans. Tag Roughneck Scarves, spelled RuffneckScarves.
Roughneck
Scarves. Tag both of those. Yeah. And then make sure you use the hashtag CooligansUSA. If you only do one thing, use the hashtag Cooligans.
Do all three things.
Yeah, yeah.
But the definitely
most important, because if you don't hashtag CooligansUSA, we will not see it.
Yeah, we won't be able to find it. So
Kirby's going to be pulling these all up. He will be using hashtag CooligansUSA, and that's on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook.
We'd love to interact with our fans a little bit more and see some, you know, some cool videos that they can make
and
for
make
us.
It creative. You know, you could show, do a replay, you could do stop motion, you could just talk directly into the camera.
Yeah, hire Pixar if you feel like creating your own, like USM, you know, USMNT recreation.
What type of processes you guys got? Huh? You got, how many cores you got?
Yeah, or do like a forensic file reenactment and get higher actors.
Or give us your own color commentary, your own call for any specific goal or anything that happened. Any video, favorite national team moment for the USA, we want to hear it. And if we love it, well, our favorite, we're going to pick. And that's who's going to get a absolutely free U.S. National Team scarf from Roughneck Scarves. Again, that's roughneckscarves.com.
We're back, everybody.
Yeah, baby. Feeling a little bit better that I got all that off my chest.
So,
just been stewing.
Jesse, you did hear the last break. We are doing a contest with Roughneck Scarves, so you can win a USA scarf for your Copa Centenario matches. If you want,
that's starting soon.
That's starting soon. So this is the last week to submit. So all, you know, like you heard in the break, just send us a video telling us about your favorite U.S. soccer moment, men or women, and you can win a U.S. USA scarf.
Yeah, so we have some great ones that are already up. So if you search the hashtag CooligansUSA, you'll see all the other videos that have been posted, some really awesome ones. You know, I don't think any of them have stuck out so far as to be better than the next, so you still have a shot.
Yeah.
And again, there's no definitive way of winning besides tell us an awesome story in 30 seconds or less, and Christian and I will pick our favorite one.
That is all. So yeah, just send us a video letting us know your favorite moment. There's plenty to go around. There's plenty of U.S. soccer moments.
So many things have happened.
So, like we were saying in the first segment, Andrea Pirlo was very vocal about...
And by the way, it's not like he sought out a report and was like, hey, I got something to say. He was asked about it.
Do not. Come over here.
He was asked about it, probably very coolly mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to be honest. He said that the league has a lot more running. It's a lot more physical, essentially, not as much technical skill. He's not saying anything that no one's ever heard, but no one's not heard before. You know what I mean? We've talked about this on this podcast. People have mentioned it. And I think what the problem, and this is why I wanted to bring it up in its own segment, because I think this is the symptom of a lot of what ails MLS. I always talk about the officiating. We think the officiating is absolutely atrocious at times. Sometimes it's perfectly fine. But the one thing that I think carries over to all the matches is how physical they're all called, mm-hmm. right? And I think part of it is that a lot of the players, and this is the thing, it doesn't say all of the players, none of the players have the technical skill. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, as an overall, what he sees is that there's a lack of technical ability. So we tend as Americans to try to outrun someone versus, you know, intelligently or efficiently maneuver the ball around the pitch. So we're constantly trying to outrun the other one or outgun or be stronger. And this is my main argument with, you know, Giannis, as he wants to be on the podcast talking about it, because he's one of these guys that, like, if LeBron would have played soccer, he'd be better than Cristiano Ronaldo. None of those things are true, because these are athletes you're talking about. Basketball is a how high, how fast, how high can you jump, how fast can you run type of league. You need to have skill, but the primary reason is height and physical ability, right?
Yeah.
NFL football, the combine. No one's making you do a test other than to check out, you know, how you are mentally. Most of it is, you know, how tall can you jump? How hard can you run? How hard can you hit this thing? That's most American sports have that, right? You don't need this, like, sort of innate technical ability. You don't need to be taught these things. That's changing. You know, a lot of the people, like that kid Balthazar who beat me at FIFA, you know, there was a game where they showed one of his highlights. The kid's got tons of skill, you know, so that's changing. But for right now, the league we're in, it's literally built for athletes and not for footballers. And I've been saying from the beginning, we need to build footballers in this country. So like officiating, like you could see it on Pirlo's face when he gets knocked down, how frustrated he is because there was no call. Because he's coming from the single most technical league in the world. So, I mean, it's a big drastic change for him. Premier League to MLS, style-wise, isn't as big of a shift as it is from the Serie A to the MLS. It's a massive shift, right? So he's seeing that. He's trying to do like a move to get out of the way of the defender. And he's essentially just being knocked down, being run into. And they're not calling it. The reason they're not calling it is because as a league, as an overall overarching theme, we don't have that technical skill. So that, to us, isn't a foul because all of our players are running into each other. You know what I mean? It's about fast and strength. It's not about smoothness or efficiency. And I remember, you know, watching guys like Dennis Bergkamp, he would always say, like, pass it to me as hard as you can. I'll figure out. You can't do that here. You know what I mean? If you pass as hard as you can, it would bounce off of the receiving player's foot and it would go, you know, into the stands versus this is a player who took his time. Mind you, he was an anomaly, but he's someone who took his time out to learn how to trap those balls, how to have it stop in front of him. No matter how hard you
pass it. If they pass it that hard, one of our players would just be like, why are you passing it so hard? Like,
Stop it.
Like, wow.
I need shin guards everywhere. You're being mean.
You're hurting my foot.
I got to keep playing. How else am I going to feed my family on this $50,000 a year?
Oh, so it is a... Look, I mean, Pirlo has a great point. I mean,
you've played a lot of soccer. You've watched a lot of soccer. This is your second year really focusing on MLS. Have you not seen the difference?
No, the difference is incredibly clear. It is.
And it doesn't mean it's not an exciting brand of football. It doesn't mean it's a bad league. None of those things are true. And someone brought up a good point. What if that's our style?
Sure. Yeah, every league has its own thing.
Sure, but you gotta know, you can't just, like, that's why it's such a big deal when guys that, you know, come back from Europe play at a slightly higher level here versus in Europe, they're kind of like, you know, they said Yedlin didn't, you know, he didn't have all of the skill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were like, there's some things he's never even been taught. And Matt, you look, we train our players different, but he's ridiculously fast and he's a quick learner. So he'll do well. In fact, Sunderland wants to buy him. Mm-hmm. That's never been said positively in the past, but I think that's good for him because that means he's going to get playing time versus with Tottenham where he wasn't going to do that and constantly finish below Arsenal. But you know, you could see that when our players go abroad, there's something that they're missing. Pulisic is a great example. You know, he clearly had the technical skill, so that new generation will have it. But there's guys like Giazzi Zardes who are from that middle generation who I watch sometimes and I'm like, why doesn't he know how to do this now?
He
reminds me of Shelton.
With Pulisic is, I remember hearing an interview, and I don't remember exactly which one, but they always, they were talking to a player about the difference is like where is it that the European skill and an American skill for our youth development, where is it that it just rockets, where it's like where do we separate?
Yeah.
Because they were saying that in, you know, when I think it was Jesse's artist that said this, but he said he would play in tournaments where European kids would come play here.
Yeah.
And when, you know, from 10 years old to 12, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14, they were beating them or they were basically the same level. But around like 15, 16, 17 is where boom. It was just like, now this is a completely, they are just so much better than us. And Pulisic went to Germany when he was 14.
So right in that moment.
Boom, yeah. Right there. And he got to reach that level and got that kind of coaching to really separate himself from American players. So he's a different example, because that is not a common thing for American children, for your parents to be like, oh yeah, we'll go to Germany now and we're gonna
We'll send our 13-year-old to Germany or 14. Yeah.
And look at the investment, because look at the parent. You're 14 years old, like, all right, we'll go to Germany, see how this pans out. In 3 years, you already have a
professional footballer.
A first division German player.
That's playing in potentially Champions League matches. I mean, that's huge.
That's the greatest parents. They're like, well, we'll roll the dice on this one.
Right.
And it worked out.
It's not going to be for everyone. Right now, there's a couple parents sitting watching their kid play in a fourth division team in England going, what are we doing here? You know, dad was a doctor at home. He's working in the factory here. You know, it doesn't work for everybody, but you know, you can, and I didn't know that. I always assumed, and I think what, you know, the more we learn, the more it comes out. But previously what had been mentioned is like right around high school age is where abilities start to, there's a fork in the road, and this is for everyone. This is, you know, for players in Europe who are already a part of the academy makeup right around the high school age, like later high school ages, like, you know, right around closer to 18 is where some players continue to develop and some players just stop. Or they start to slide a bit, you know. So we're seeing a lot of players like, there was a guy who was Kenny Cooper, I believe it was, who was part of Manchester United's youth makeup, and he no longer was. And he was kind of a journeyman in the MLS. And you're like, well, how did this guy get into Manchester United's youth team? But he can't even like sustain himself in the MLS. And it was because some people just continue to develop. Some people don't. You know, some people learn as much as they could and they stop. I always assumed it was the college sports, you know, but you look at someone like, you know, Jack Harrison, who we were talking about before. He went to Wake Forest for a year. He played high school soccer here at the Berkshire School where I performed. You know, he, for all intents and purposes, other than his youth training, was in England. Everything else was here. And he looked, you know, leaps and bounds above everyone else on that pitch. Yeah. Everyone.
I don't know. Maybe it's just his British accent. I don't know why. I don't know what gives him the extra ability.
I don't know. It is a good accent. We have him on our intro now.
Yeah.
He's a sweet sounding boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe having Mumsy in the supporter section. His mom was in the supporter section.
What a game.
At Yankee Stadium. That was the first time she got to see her son play when they were already down 5-0. Poor mom. But I mean, he looks promising. He looks promising. Having the kind of you know, experience from people like Pirlo, people like Villa, even Lampard. That's another thing we didn't talk about.
Lampard
made his debut.
More like debut. He made his debut.
But having these people, it is going to be hopefully helpful for NYCFC going forward and how they deal with this. Because, look, I don't know if they've dealt with losses this bad. Maybe in their history, maybe they haven't lost that bad since they were in academy, you know, and they're under, you know, under 14. I don't know, but they have.
Where the scores don't even matter.
So, but that is another thing. Frank Lampard did make his MLS debut this season and
on national TV, booed by his home fans.
Booed by his home fans.
Did you hear what he said about the booing?
There's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, he said he was severely injured and that he doesn't think that the fans know the severity of his injury, and that if they booed him for having been injured, then there's nothing he can do about it. But it was very, I don't want to say condescending, but also the fans are booing you because you haven't ingratiated yourself. You stayed at Manchester City too long, and when you got back, you were injured. You know, you played barely last season. I don't think he's played in 10 matches. And he's made $6 million a year. And that's money that now, because of the cap structure in this league, we haven't been able to go get someone who even just can play. You know, and if you're injured, then go home. You're 30-something years old. You came here to help. You haven't helped.
Yeah.
You're cashing checks. That's all you've done. So the fans are booing you because of that. And I don't even hate Frank Lampard. I want him to succeed.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, how can you not put that together? Yeah. How can you not see that your mere presence has stopped someone else from coming in?
Yeah, you're stifling the team. I mean, that's literally what you're doing.
Literally. And you think you coming in is going to change that? Hopefully. I mean, he didn't look bad. He didn't stop the bleeding, but he didn't look bad.
Yeah, two goals happened while he was on.
Yeah, Jack Harrison of all, I mean, really, really tried his best. You know, and it's simple things like, you know, you saw the Red Bulls sort of all running towards the goal when one player was, you know, near it so that they could connect to crosses. Jack Harrison was standing there juking people left and right. He's faking people left and right. There's no one there.
Yeah.
No one.
So, you know, I don't know.
Let's trade Lampard for a guy whose whole job is he's tall and he runs to the far post. Let's get Peter Crouch. And Peter Crouch's only job is to run to the far post. I have been yelling far post at this team since last season.
I mean, I don't know what, yeah, like somebody should be, for every team, there should be someone on the far post.
But just get there. You have any idea that guy would be a scoring leader in this league?
Look, NYCFC has lots of issues.
And we're in second place in the East. You know, we're complaining, but we weren't complaining. But,
and the Red Bulls are third now.
Third.
Yeah, so big jump. They went from like seventh.
Still behind us.
Seventh to third. Maybe that's how it ends, just like Arsenal Tottenham.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? Oh, what a wonderful. We make the playoffs and they don't.
Imagine, you know, it's possible NYCFC and the Red Bulls could meet in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That would be pretty fascinating.
We're going to have to pick a neutral site.
Because it can't be. Yeah.
I tweeted during the game that they would have to serve a one-year ban, like some of our fans have.
Yeah.
They're going to serve a one-year ban for excessive abuse of our back line.
Yeah. Look, I don't know.
You cross your legs.
I don't know.
You breathe out.
I don't know what, NYCFC is going to do going forward. They have a lot. We have a lot to ponder.
Yeah,
we have a lot
to think it's all about how they react. I know the fans are going to be there. I know the fans are going to be banging on those drums. I know we're going to be singing the songs. It's all about how do the players react.
Yeah.
Who's our next team we're playing? Do you know?
Orlando City.
There you go. We're going up against Mickey Mouse FC. So,
right back at it.
Kaká scores 8 on his own.
So obviously this game affected us a lot.
There were a lot of other games.
There were a lot of other games, and it was a great rivalry week.
Rivalry. the old rivalry week.
This is like, no matter how much psychologically I prepare for it, I cannot say it. I can't. It's something about the re-week. Rivalry week. I have to say it slowly. And when I say it too fast, I just
put a pause in between the two words.
Rivalry
week. There it is.
The Portland Timbers and the Vancouver Whitecaps is that the Cascadia Cup, I think?
Cascadia Cup is all three.
It's all three, right?
Yeah. So, like, in other words, like, they take the scores and the results of all three of those matches on its own.
And that's sort of the winner, yeah. Yeah. But that was a great game. Another very...
How many goals did Hakuna Matata or whatever?
Kakuta Mane.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think he got any.
He's a beast this year.
He was really good. But there were a couple big calls, like defensively. There were just so many... the calls that the refs never call, that they just somehow don't see it.
Yeah.
They called. They were so incredibly accurate that it really blew my mind. But there was a
DP refs.
There was a great. There was a handball. There was a handball called.
Wow!
In the box that led to a penalty. I forgot his name. I wish I could. I think his name is Ba or something like that. I don't remember. But it was a cross, and the center back stopped it with his arm, and it was close.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah.
And I want to get the ref's name, because he was like immediately boom right, just pointing to the spot.
He didn't need to confer with the sideline judges or anything.
Just one of the look in MLS, we were constantly complaining about the refereeing. The refs,
yeah.
But this was just completely on point. Every call, there were two penalties. all accurate.
It was a well-called match.
Yeah, and there was a great free kick from Darlington Nagby. I don't know if you saw it.
I have not seen the clip yet, but I keep hearing about it.
It's good to see because it's usually Valeri who usually takes the free kicks. But
nice to see they're not arguing about.
Yeah, and that was a thing I think Taylor Twellman mentioned on the on the call. Because one of the penalties was from Asprilla, and again,
what a goal! I just watched it. Holy Lord!
Valeri is usually the one taking the penalty kicks, but they were like, "Hey, we want to like," and the game was 2-1, so it wasn't like they had it locked.
It was 3-1 at that point.
No. When they did the penalty kick.
Oh, the penalty, sure.
It was 2-1.
Yeah.
And they let Asprilla take the penalty kick, and he's normally not the one who takes them.
Yeah.
So a lot of confidence especially at a pivotal time in the game.
Or maybe they're just rubbing it in. I would love that.
Maybe, but it was good to see, especially compared to, you know, how Columbus Crew handled that situation. Well, they let a player who normally doesn't even take the penalty kicks take them just to build his confidence because they felt like he needed it.
That's great. You know who else took a really important penalty kick? Fabrice Muamba. Do you remember him?
No.
He had a heart attack on the pitch for the Bolton.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was, I think, no heartbeat for 78 minutes. And they managed to bring him back. They managed to essentially bring him back to life, if you will.
Wow. That's a Game of Thrones episode. Bringing back Jon Snow.
Well, Lord of the Light is a big Bolton Wanderers fan.
The Red Sorceress obviously just brought him back.
That would be hilarious if during a match, just like a chick wearing a long red gown comes out and where everyone's like, nope, don't worry about it. It's going to work. But yeah, I remember watching that match and the camera was starting to pan away. And if I'm not mistaken, it was against Tottenham, and I wanted Tottenham to lose that match, like all matches. And he just collapsed, and you can tell there was something weird was going on because the camera wasn't focusing on them. They were focusing on the other players. The other players were, like, shocked. Well, apparently, 4 years, he can't play soccer anymore, but he played in a charity match, and he was shocked at how much you can go. There was a penalty, so they let him take the penalty. It was at Bolton's ground. And he scored a goal. And the fans went absolutely insane for him.
Yeah, how could he
not? And he went nuts, you know, and almost had a heart attack again. But yeah, he can't play soccer anymore, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
He had a lot of potential, man. He was a big player. He was one of those guys that they were being talked about by being purchased by another team because, you know, the Bolton wasn't doing really well.
Well, it would be just how tragic and surreal would it be if he like scores that goal and does have another?
And has another.
That would be.
Oh boy!
Well, why did we let him play?
Is it the grass? It'll get him off. Then you have to have another charity match for him.
Yeah. So, but there are we've been talking a lot about MLS. It was obviously a very big week. But a lot of news back in England. The Premier League is over.
Done.
But, you know, a couple things still going on. There were, we had the FA Cup final.
Yeah, did you see Pardew dancing?
I didn't see, but I heard about this.
Oh my God, Pardew. He's dirty winding. Dirty wine. It was beautiful to watch.
Okay, I gotta watch this.
Oh man, I'm gonna pull it up while you do that.
Sure. So FA Cup final, Manchester United wins the FA Cup against Crystal Palace 2-1, right? I believe.
Yep.
And
in the last minute, down to 10 men.
Yeah. And then as you do when you win the FA Cup final, you immediately get fired by your team. So
he knew. Apparently when he walked out and said it's over to one of the reporters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me hand you the phone cuz that's the Pardew dance. Yeah. It's a long version of it, which is why I picked it. He knew it was over. And then at the conference at the end,
okay, it's difficult to not laugh at this.
Sorry, dude, he's getting it in, right?
He's whipping an inning.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. He almost dabbed on him.
I mean, he was literally, yeah, he almost dabbed. He almost did, I don't even know what that move is called, but like, It's like what is it called?
It's like the old
No. What
fingers in the air kind of thing.
What is that dance that they do? Like it's like from L.A. I think that like. Is it
crumping?
Crumping. Yeah, that's what I don't think.
You think he's crumping?
It looks like he's like about to. He's about to like start.
I don't know. He looks like one, like a British guy who drank too much at a flamenco dance party. And he was like, I could do that.
You know, we don't want to like reinforce the stereotype of like white people and their dancing.
No.
But this is.
I mean,
look, I'm not saying white people shouldn't dance. I'm saying that.
No, we enjoy when they do.
No. I'm saying British white people should not dance. That there is a certain level of risk you take because you are not well equipped.
Not at all.
Just like American soccer players, like the youth.
We don't have the first touch.
We don't know. Look, we're not going to pretend like we're as on the same level when it comes to soccer right. skills.
Sure, not our thing yet.
Yeah, but when it comes to dancing. By like 8, 9 years old, even if you're white in America, you kind of get it. You kind of know what you're doing.
It's the percussion, guys. Just follow the percussion. You can't go wrong. But, white people are trained to feel it. That's their music. They feel it. You know, that's not what we do. We hear the percussion. We're like, we're going to dance along to the percussion. It's a very different skill set.
Yeah.
So back to LVG. Knew he was getting fired. Wins the FA Cup like a G. You know what he does in the post-game conference? He brings the FA Cup and forces it. He waits. He makes them go get it and put it in front of him for the conference because he knew he was going to get let go at the end of the match.
Yeah.
How great is that? That's like the most G move of all time.
That most LVG move.
Yeah, there it is. He's the LVOG. I mean, that's what you do. And Mourinho's going to come in, and I don't know if it's going to be the same. I don't know if it's going to be the same, team, but what I'm excited about is – In one part of the same city, you're going to have Jose Mourinho. And on the other part of that same city, you're going to have Pep Guardiola. Two people who hate each other when they were hours away from each other in Spain. They're going to be probably eating at the same cafes.
It is kind of strange just because, especially the hiring. I don't know if it's official yet that he is the manager, but everyone is.
Jose?
Yeah.
No, I think it's been.
It's like leaked, but yeah. I mean, he's going to be the manager.
Hasn't been announced yet, but it is.
I was under the impression that like they basically hated Jose Mourinho, basically from his time at Chelsea. Like I thought,
who's they?
Like Woodward and Manchester United. It just seemed like that would be a person they would not want.
Yeah.
As their manager, given the history that they have.
But he's a proven winner.
And that's the thing. And there's very short memories when it comes to the top clubs. The top clubs in the world, there's really only like 10 people that can even manage them on earth. Yeah. Like it's almost like managers in Europe, or just in general, coaches and managers, they are like quarterbacks in the NFL,
right?
Where there's really only three or four that are elite on Earth at one point in time.
Yeah.
So there's like Real Madrid. The
Barcelona, which is almost their own thing because they have to get a Barca style coach. I mean, of all the major teams, your two Manchester teams, PSG, maybe Juventus, Real Madrid, NYCFC, all those major clubs. But I mean, jokes aside, there's a handful of teams and there's only a handful of coaches. And most of those coaches have coached at one of those other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're basically buying and selling. You're trading the same coach over and over again. Ancelotti is now going to be the coach at Bayern, which is another one of those clubs, And it's all the Champions League clubs. There's Champions League clubs. There's Champions League managers. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it is pretty fascinating because you would think there would be bad blood or like, it'd be like, oh, no, we can't have this guy or whatever. But no, right. That's not. It's like, oh, no, he's one of the few. There's not many other people that.
Although Pep said he would never manage Real. He would never do that. But also he played for Barca, so it's different.
Okay.
But it's not, you can break into that elite group. You just have to become a manager of one of those teams.
Yeah, it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
So Mourinho he should be going to Manchester United.
He's there.
I can't wait for next season. That's gonna be great.
That's gonna be the news conferences.
But because of that, because Mourinho was the manager of Inter Milan.
Yeah.
And where Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he coached him for a while there.
And he loves him.
And he loves him. Meaning Ibra loves Mourinho. And he mentioned this. And there's been a lot of news about Manchester United trying to court Ibrahimovic. And he said he would not go if LVG was there. LVG is gone. Mourinho is in. And there's a very good chance that Ibrahimovic may be going to Manchester United.
Spends a year in Manchester.
Yeah.
I mean,
before he comes to LAFC.
Instantly changes that club.
It'd be an interesting...
You're not going to start Rooney up front anymore. Not that he has in a long time, but I don't think Mourinho was going to put him there. Rooney's now a number 10.
The egos, how do you shift them? I mean, it's
Zlatan on a counterattack is a thing of beauty, so...
Yeah, he's never played in the Premier League. That'd be pretty cool.
Almost. There's a famous photo of him in an Arsenal shirt, 17 years old.
Okay.
Very close to being signed. They did not sign him. Yeah, thanks, Arsene.
good call.
Yeah, good one. I don't know what else to say besides he's going to rip up this league, man.
Yeah.
He's going to rip us up.
I'm kind of disappointed because there's a lot of news that he would be going to MLS.
Okay.
But that with
he's
this Mourinho
be LA Galaxy's 13th DP, which is very special.
I don't know how that would have ever worked, but it would be cool. I still have this feeling that he will end up in MLS. Maybe even if he plays one season. I think he still the forces want to make it happen.
I will say it's dumb of him not to play here because the last country for him to become a major star in is here, and he fits right in.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's able to translate his ego or just character from England or from Europe, I should say, to here, he would be an instant star. I mean, ESPN would be talking about him all the time. Fans would love him. He would be instant.
ESPN would huge. ESPN would not be talking about him.
They would. They like guys like that.
Yeah, maybe we need
our own Terrell Davis or Terrell, what's his name? Who's the wide receiver that would always go nuts? Terrell Owens.
Yeah. I guess I don't think of Ibrahimovic as sort of reckless like that. So like from a PR standpoint, because, you know, I don't imagine him, you know, doing sit-ups outside in his garage, you know, like with media. But there is I think Ibrahimovic is basically the Chuck Norris of soccer. Right.
Yeah. I mean, the closest thing would be like Jim McMahon. Remember him, the old Chicago Bears quarterback? Now, I never really saw him play because I was way too young.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they talk about him, where he like wore sunglasses and
kind of did
whatever, he said he was the greatest at everything, and like Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. That's who Ibrahimovic is.
Yeah.
He's not a Jordan in the sense that although he plays really well, his persona is bigger than he is.
Exactly. Yeah, and he sort of embraces the humor in that.
Right.
He's not just like, yes, I agree with you. I am amazing. No.
Yeah.
He sort of plays with it, and it's pretty funny.
Right. Even his book apparently has like a bunch of crazy stuff in it, but he said the writer wrote that. He's like, I never said any of those things.
Yeah.
He's like, but I get it. It's in the voice of what people think of Zlatan.
Yeah, there isn't that kind of player in the MLS.
Imagine Nicholas Bentner was actually good at soccer. So you pair his character and personality with someone who's really good at the sport. That's Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah. So I don't know. I hope it happens one day. It'd be cool to see. But it looks like he's going to end up in Manchester.
What do you think about David Moyes with going back to Everton?
So there's a rumor that David Moyes might go back.
He's being courted. Based on all of his success at Manchester United and Real Sociedad.
You know, I would like to see Everton go in a new direction.
What kind of direction would you want to go in? Like, do you want more attacking football or?
I would like more control in the middle and a stronger back line. I mean, that's it. More Ross Barkley's that can hold on to the ball and make some decent passes. And
you think you're keeping Lukaku? He's obviously not going to United now.
No,
because him and Mourinho despise.
I don't think Lukaku's staying, but I don't know where he's going. He wants to go to Champions League team, but from what I hear, I believe Steve Nichols said this on ESPN FC, and it was a good point. He's like, Lukaku's not good enough to really play at any of the big Champions League clubs. Lukaku is a Jozy Altidore-esque, you know, back to the goal, holds on to the ball.
Right.
That's his game, but he's not good enough to be at those big clubs. And he literally said, Steve Nichols said, the only places Lukaku would fit in is really Everton or Leicester City.
Not true. I could see him fitting in really well at Arsenal. I think he's better than Giroud.
I don't know. I don't think he would fit in at Arsenal. I don't think Everton and his game seems to be to hold on to the ball. He doesn't. I think Arsenal forwards do a little bit more
feeding,
tiki taka kind of.
But game. He plays with his back to the goal. He can turn. He can let the ball off to Ozil or Alexis, who can come in and move around. I don't know. I don't necessarily think he's the best replacement for Giroud. I think we need a world class striker is what we need, and I just don't think that Lukaku's that. But he's also 22 years old, 23. I mean, he's only going to get better.
Hopefully, but I don't think he's.
Should you even care?
I don't think he's going to get better at Everton. That's really the thing.
That's for sure.
All right, so let's go on to the third segment. Kirby is not here.
Not here. So it's just the Cooligans corner.
Just the Cooligans corner. But Kirby did send us some stories, so we're gonna talk about them real quick. So for our final segment. We'll see you in one moment.
I just got my SI, and the cover is Summer of Soccer. Where is the Summer of Soccer going to be? I have no idea. I just asked these guys, do you know what Copa America is? And neither of them knew, okay? Now, I know I get accused of knowing nothing about soccer because I don't. I know absolutely zero about soccer, and that's more than I want to know about soccer. I have no interest. I'm just being honest. No, it's a little late for me in soccer. It's just not going to happen. But on the eve of Copa America, SI has like how many pages in their magazine this week? No wonder SI can't sell their magazine to anybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 pages on this event. 11 pages, and I can't find anybody who's ever heard of it.
A lot of skipped pages.
All right, we're in our third segment. We're calling this a Cooligans Corner.
Yeah, but, you know.
Kirby's here in spirit.
He is.
And he was still nice enough to send us the news. And why don't we go over a couple of them real quick?
Yeah. Let's get going. So Bayern Munich has taken another star from Borussia Dortmund. This seems like a common story. But Mats Hummels signed, I believe, a four-year or five-year contract.
The home fans were not happy with him.
And he is going to Bayern Munich. So,
I mean, you know, there's nowhere else in the world where you can fire a manager 6 months before they're supposed to leave. this guy, you know, he's not even going to be back. And, players are constantly saying, oh, next year I'm going to play for the opponent. It seems completely in a conflict of interest. I mean, all of it sounds disrespectful. I don't know why they do it this way. I would not do that. I mean, you can't say like, oh, we're going to trade the second baseman in baseball in 6 weeks. That guy's going to be like, well, I'm not playing then. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, so it is a big deal. You would think two sort of rival clubs wouldn't even like do business, but business is business. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, and Dortmund is a smaller club, unfortunately.
Yeah, and,
so they
and
have to
the
sell.
The little brother to they're always in second.
Yeah.
for the most part.
So maybe this is it. Maybe this is a beginning of them feeling that, and then stop selling to them, and maybe they keep some of their players and they turn into a world beater.
Maybe. Also, next up, Kingsley Coman. Speaking of Bayern Munich, Kingsley Coman plays for Bayern Munich.
But he's a Juventus player.
He's on loan.
Yeah.
But he's 19 years old, but he already has a distinguished career. He's played for a couple of years.
Right.
And he's basically won everything outside of a World Cup. He plays for the French national team, so he might win the Euros.
He might. So, yeah.
But Kingsley Coman is 19 years old. He is the winger at Bayern Munich. But he, in his already 19 years of existence,
19 years old,
has already won the Bundesliga title.
Yep.
He's won the German Cup. He's won the Serie A title. Mm-hmm. He's won the Italian Cup, the Italian Super Cup. He's won Ligue 1 twice, and he's also won the French Super Cup. So his
eight.
The silverware is just insane that this kid has.
Eight different trophies.
And he's a kid. We can call him a kid. He's a kid.
This guy doesn't know how to end a season without confetti. He just doesn't know how to do it.
He's never losing.
Wait a minute. Of course we're the last team to play always. What are you talking about?
I sort of feel bad for when he loses for the first time.
Oh.
He's going to be crushed.
Yeah. Heroin dealer's going to be getting phone calls. He's not going to know what to have. You know, Bill Walton, you know the basketball player?
Yeah.
The first time he lost a game was in his professional career. He had never lost a game through his entire youth, high school, and college.
Sure. That tends to happen for, especially like college football, because sometimes, you know, Alabama, you know, some of these
monsters,
they're just never going to lose. So there's some players that end up playing, you know, 4 years and they just never lose.
Yeah.
Which is nothing like
two New York Latinos talking about Southern college sports. We don't know what we're talking about.
Well, no, but like Cam Newton is a big example. I think he didn't lose a game in his college career, and he really only started experiencing his losing
at the Super Bowl.
Carolina had a few bad years.
They had a few bad years.
But yeah, that is a common thing. Also, this is the thing we didn't get to cover in the middle of the show, but the MLS Players Union released the salaries, or the lack thereof salaries. Right. There's really not much.
So if you're an NYCFC player and you're not one of the DPs, this is the second most embarrassing thing that's happened to you this week.
So look, this is a common thing in sports. We know how much players make, but just sort of seeing it listed, it made it feel
also
like...
Also because they put the other players' money next to them. It's like, no, just release them. Not a spreadsheet.
Yeah, if they put out a list of
just
like...
let every player tweet their own...
I mean, it really felt like if we put out a list of all the comedians in New York and what they made, and we didn't sort it by like top to bottom. Right. We just sort of put the
random order.
Random order.
Random order.
And it's just like, why is... You know, the $400,000 guy next to
the open mic who's made -$48 this year.
So, so we basically got to see, like, I guess about the average salary is somewhere between like $80,000 to
$120,000. Poku severely underpaid, although he's not playing this year as much. RJ Allen severely underpaid just for that pass.
So we focused on the NYCFC players, and everybody should look at this. If you are an MLS supporter of a team, you can see how much everybody's making. And for the most part, it's weird to see just some people make $6 million, and then on the same exact team, someone makes $61,000.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, $6 million, you're buying dinner every time.
There's no way.
You think I'm picking up that check, dog? Fine. Then when we go to the Bentley dealership, you're picking up the check, because that's the equivalent of what this check is per capita.
It is wild. After the report came out, they found basically 20 MLS players make half of the money in the league, which is, look,
when it's the haves and the have-nots.
When MLS started instituting the DP rule, it was what it was for. It was to
get Beckham in the league.
To get Beckham in the league, to get people to come watch American soccer.
Yeah.
Right?
Get names.
To support their league.
Sure.
And what has resulted, it has been great. Look, there are more people going to games. There's more awareness. You know, generally, people ask me about the league a lot more than they ever did.
Yeah.
So it is, to that point, it was a success. But I think we're like in a Bernie Sanders-esque, like, the 1%.
This is exactly what he's talking about.
I mean, Bernie was right.
1%. I mean, this is it. You're looking at it right here.
It's way too one-sided. There's no look. I get that some players are worth the money. I mean, David Villa, he's worth $6 million.
But unfortunately for our players, there's no way for them to make that money. You know, in order for them to get paid $1 million, which like guys like Zusi or Beasler or Omar Gonzalez before he was sold, in order for them to make a mil, they had to become DPs. They're never going to make $6 million. They're just not, unless they go to Europe and become a draw and come back. It's a lot like comedy. They're just not going to make that money. You know what I mean? They have to do something drastic.
Yeah, so we know that there is a strict salary cap in MLS, and this is why some of these players get paid so little.
It was almost a strike at the beginning of last season.
But this is, I don't know, there's something about when I saw it, I'm like, this is bad. Like, we just saw RJ Allen make a world-class pass to David Villa to beat the MLS Cup champions. And he's making $61,000. A $61,000 guy made it.
That ball traveled from $61,000
to $6
million. To $6
million. If you look at that graph, it is going insane.
Two zeros that ball picked up on the way over there.
So that's... it's unfair. I mean, that's probably the easy word.
It is.
But this is what they agreed to.
Yeah.
But it feels wrong.
You know, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's single entity, so it's hard, but that revenue sharing seems to be something that, even though I know it kind of happens, there's got to be some way to split this up a bit better. You know, I don't, guys like RJ Allen, you know, I know the last year they were just happy to be in the league, so it didn't matter that they were making 60K. He deserves more than that. I mean, it's hard. I don't want to take money out of people's pockets and tell them how to spend it, where to spend it, but you can't have... You can't have $7 million passing a ball to $60,000 and have that be a normal existence. I just can't. And I mean, look, guy like Poku, he was playing in Ghana. ASEC, I think, is the biggest team in Ghana. ASEC Mimosas. And they pay their players.
It's a great brunch.
Great.
I love her brunch.
Best ASEC music ever. do you want another one? Actually, I'm ASEC of Mimosas. their professional players get $1,000 a month. It's a different country, different ecosystem, so the whole nine. So he's making more money here, but it just doesn't feel right, you know, comparably to how he has to live. You know, there was a video of him going to get food, and he's driving like an old Camry. It's like, come on, he's a professional player. I'm not saying he needs to have a Bentley, but, you know, dude, at least let him get a 2016, you know? let him lease a Corolla,
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, there's no other thing to say. Because, look, we're supporting the league. We're big fans of it, and we want it. And the more money we give, the hope is that they will be able to earn more money.
Yeah, hopefully.
We're putting money in their pockets. That's the hope. But I don't want to put all my money in just two players' pockets.
Yeah, because you could split up how much money we make into two players. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. So,
comedians were poor.
So that was a big deal. But look at if you are MLS supporter, look at your team and how much they're making, because you are probably making more than them.
Maybe we should do one of those spend all your time waiting videos, you know, instead of feed the poor, feed the rookies.
Jack Harrison, number one draft pick, but like those people.
He was Generation Adidas.
Generation Adidas. They make more. Jack Harrison is making more money than Poku, than Kyrie, than RJ. And that's another thing. Like, look, at least these people, they've been in the league longer than you, and you make more money already. That's another weird thing.
It's tough. It's tough to take.
Tough, yeah. So, MLS, come on. Sort that out.
Come on, homie. Come on, Don Garber.
pay you guys a little bit more.
You're playing these people, Don Garber. Didn't work as well.
For our final story, thank you, Kirby, again. An Everton fan. Yeah. So we know Everton and Liverpool are in the same city. They play they're Goodison and
Anfield.
Anfield. Yeah. They're very close to each other. And obviously a lot of, you know, like NYCFC and Red Bulls. Everton is
red versus blue. Red versus
blue. Same thing. So Liverpool last week lost in the Europa League to Sevilla.
Yeah.
And really, Liverpool, that's all they had to like look forward to. They were mid table. They were really weren't doing anything else. Right. So this was a big game for them. And an Everton fan, after Liverpool lost, made a prank call. They just called up Anfield directly. They just called Liverpool and had a great just it's incredibly childish and really
which is why we love it.
And Everton fans have really nothing to. They've had a horrible season. Yeah. There's no high ground that you kind of have.
But it's a preemptive strike. It's the first. You got the first punch. None of you won the fight. But you got the first punch, and it's great. Why don't we play that as we go out?
Yeah, we'll play that. It was a fun thing. And we'll play this, and then we'll see you next week, everybody.
Yeah, so thank you so much for listening. You guys are awesome. We'll be back next week.
Follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media, and follow at Not Alexis, at Chris Polanco. We will see you next week.
Listen to this prank call.